Chodesh Tov and Mevorach, everyone. Here we are, Rosh Chodesh Iyar Tavshin Samach Zayin, Chamisha Asar Yom, La'Omer, and we're holding a Daf Yud Aleph in Masechet Chagiga, and we're down at two dots, one third of the way down on the dot. So, let's just take a look again in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, has one category called Heter Nedarim, which is called Pricha Ba'avir completely. Then it has a second category, Shabbos, Chagigas, Me'ilais, which it calls Harorim Hatluyim B'Sarah. Then it has a last category, and I don't say third, as you'll see in a moment, the last category that has Dinim and the Avodos, Efkochim, Atares, Tmeyes, and Arayot. Sheyesh Lemamashi Yismechu. Now there's a middle piece over here that's not 100% clear. The wording of the Mishnah, as it appears, seems to be that Hararim Hatulim Bisara, we have the word Shehen, which is not in all the Girsahot. Shehen Mikra Muat, Valachot Merubot, which is mashman that Mikra Muat, Valachot Merubot, is the definition of Harorim Hatluyim Bisara. However, there is another Girsa, which Tosis brings, and that is that there is a actual third category here, so the last category is a fourth category, and the third category is Ohalot. Ohalot is not exactly Harorim Hatluyim Bisara, but it is Mikra Muat V'Halachot Meruvot. So in other words, according to this, we would say, Harorim Hatluyim Bisara would mean that there are just little remozim in the Torah on which we build major halachot. And then we have another thing in which the dinim are said, but there are so many detailed dinim that are learnt out of just a few words, and so that's called mikra muat valachot merubot. And then the last one we have, which is well defined in the Torah. According to that, there would be four categories. And the reason I bring this up now is because it's again how we explain really the coming Gemara. So let's just begin now with the Braita. Tana, Nega'im and Ohalot are Mikra Mu'at V'Halachot Mirubot. And this would have been the Girsa in the Mishnah as well, or at least the Ohalot part, according to the Girsa that brought in Tosfos. So our Tana didn't mention this the way we have the Girsa, and the Gemara asks, Nega'im is called Mikra Mu'at? I mean, this happens to be just where we're holding in the Parshat HaShavua, and it sure don't look like Mikra Mu'at. I mean, there's a lot of talk about some very short topic there. So how do you call that Mikra Mu'at? I mean, the Gaim is Mikra Merubo, obviously. Omer of Papa, no. This is definitely a mistake. Ochika Omer. It must be basically like a Chesura Mechasra. The Gaim, on the one hand, I mean, that would be Mikra Merubo. Halachot muatot. What does that mean? Halachot muatot. There's certainly a lot of din in the Goyim. We're going to see what that means in a moment. Well, halot is mikra muat v'halachot merubot. You'll say, what would be the point of putting these two things together like this? So my nafkamina. Nafkamina is actually to teach me a very important din, which is shocking in a way. When we say that it's halachot muatot, we mean that the Goyim is not well developed in Teres Shabbat. And there is not a large body of halachas that we can go to cover all cases. And if you have a suffix in Dinim of Negoyim, you can still go back to the Psukim and try to understand halacha from the Psukim. The Netziv has a big piece of this in which he brings examples of inyanim in which you see that the Pesukim go to the Psukim instead of, I mean, it's very unusual that we go. And the truth is there are many, many issues that are left wide open in the Goyim in terms of the Psukim, even where Rashi himself says, I don't know what this is supposed to mean in the Pirush on the Torah. What's Mareu Eino Mokim in Or? If the whole din is that Gemara Chamakim is a Mokim in Atzel, then Eino Mokim in Or makes no sense. Contradiction in terms. And so on. So that means that it's coming to tell me that you can look into the Pasik in order to Paskin Svekas and Dinim. Mashenkin, when it comes to Arlot, that is very well defined. And there I ain't the Mat meeting. You have your fundamental halacha is listed there already, halacha psuka, in the Mishnah, and that means that the framework for the halacha already exists in the Mishnah. Now, you also listed then in the last category, dinim, you said, strange lashon, yeshlem mamash yisbo, they have what to be based on. Have what to be based on. That's all you could say about dinim. Michtav Ktiva, I understand. You have the whole parshas in the Torah that define dinim more than Yeshla Mamash Yisrael. I mean, that sounds like it's just the opposite of Harorim Akluya Besara. These things are mountains hanging on a hair. Over here you have already a little bit of a basis. That's all you would say about dinim? Michtav Ktiva, I mean, that's full psukim in detail. There's things that even contradict the meaning of the psukim. For instance, take a look at the Rebbe sheet, the Tanya. Rebbe Omer, when the Torah says in a case where two people were fighting, and accidentally a woman who got in the middle was hit, and she died, so it says, Im as ve'im ason yev en atata nefesh tachat nefesh. Then we have a machloket about whether ha-mitzkaven la-harog et zev, harog et zev, chayav. These people were fighting each other, and maybe it was in fact a fight to the death. I mean, but the woman who got in the middle certainly wasn't the target of the gunshot. I mean, but she got killed. So it's a question of whether someone who intends to kill and kills someone else, whether that's called an act of murder, or that's basically manslaughter. That's a question. So Rebbe Shit is your potter. Even though the Torah says nefesh tachat nefesh, Rebbe says it doesn't mean literally nefesh tachat nefesh. It means mamon. It means that he has to pay. Atomer mamon. I mean, that's what you say. I mean, it says in the pasuk nefesh. Nefesh usually means nefesh mamash, no? Oh, enu ela nefesh mamash. Why shall we not define it in that way? Oh, and here's where it's Yesha Mamasha Yisbachu, because if you take a look at the Pasik, it says Nemra Nitina Lemata, it says Vinatata. But it also says Vinemra Nitina Lemala, right before that, which it spoke about where the woman did not die, but she was a pregnant woman, and lost her fetus. So over there it says that Imloya Ason Onoshianesh Vinatan Biflilim. Vinatan Biflilim obviously means he shall pay in court. So this is the same motion, Nitina. So just like the nitina that it said earlier, mala halan momon clearly means money. Over there you didn't have a murder, you had the loss of the value, because a fetus does not yet have a din of a living being. Afkan momon, here too, it means money. Now that, yesham rashi is certainly, you're not going to call that beferish, and that's almost the opposite of what it says beferish in the pasuk. And how about avodot? I mean, pasuk after pasuk, parsha after parsha, telling me that of Avedas, and you say Yeshem Amashi Yisbachu. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? Michtav Kliven. No, that's a bullshit. Does it say anywhere Holacha in the Torah? They say beferish that holacha is considered holacha means I take the blood from where the Kabbalah was done and I bring it to the Mizbeach and now I have to do Zrik. I mean, it says Vizarak, yes. It says Vikibel, yes. Where does it say holacha? Not only that, I mean, imagine a situation in which the Shechita takes place immediately next to the Mizbeach. There is no holacha. According to the Kabbalah Dam, he's standing next to Beth, it's Vizarak the Dam. Would we say that something that is dispensable doesn't need to be done bichlal? Something that's dispensable would have a full din of avoda. To say so, it's a full din of avoda. It makes tremendous nafkaminas. La halacha. Because, I mean, if I have, let's say, a machsheves pigol, and something that's not an avoda, it's not going to pass. Was halacha really an avoda? So if I have kavona, as I'm carrying the dam, I have kavona to eat the korban, let's say, the mark of chutz lizman, is that going to pass the korban? Or is that just, I might as well be basically playing tiddlywinks while we're waiting for the coin to get around and have a machsheves pigol. I mean, that doesn't possible. So that I need to learn out, and that's Yeshem HaMash Yisbruch, but certainly not Befurash. So where do we learn it out from? D'Tanya. It says in the Pasuk, it says, Akerev HaKrayim, and so on, V'hikriv HaKohen at HaKol V'hiktir HaMizbech. What does the V'hikriv exactly supposed to mean? And there's another Pasuk that says, V'hikrivo. This V'hikrivo is said after Shechita, V'shachat et Ben HaBakar. And then it says, V'hikrivo B'nei Aharon HaKohanim et Adam. It certainly can't mean that there's Zorek Adam, because it's after V'zorku et Adam. The second Pasuk that says, V'hikriv is followed by the word V'hiktir. So what exactly does this first, after we take the V'shachat et Ben HaBakar, V'hikrivu b'nei Aharon HaKohanim et Adam, meaning what? The first V'hikrivu refers to Kabbalat Adam. If you'll notice, it doesn't say anything about Kabbalah. It says it says only V'hikrivu HaKohanim et Adam, where were they Mekabal Adam? That Lashon, V'hikrivu, is a reference to Kabbalah. V'afkar Achmana b'Lashon Holacha, but notice the simple meaning of the word vikrivo is to take the blood and bring it closer to the mizbeach. It certainly doesn't mean to put it on the mizbeach, because then it says vikiru afterwards. So therefore, the Kabbalah which is said as spoken about elsewhere, this Kabbalah must actually be the same as the Holacha. It's said in the Lashon of Holacha. And the Torah means to use the word Holacha. D'chtivi ikriva kohen atakovi iktira mizbecha. That lashon of ikriv et akov iktir obviously is referring to holacha, to bring it close. Don't think it means any sacrifices it, but that's what you think it means. The ikriv, sacrificed it. But that's what it means. So how does it say the iktir afterwards if you already sacrificed it? So that means that the word be ikriv literally means to bring close. That's all that it means. If that's the case, then, and just like we said over there, v'amamar zu holacha devarim lekevesh, that the word hakrava does not mean to sacrifice. It means to walk towards. So by the Dham, it also means to walk towards. Why don't you say b'feirush the word to be makabel, v'shachat v'kibel? Aha! This is to tell you, the name of the holacha, lo tifka michlal kabbalah. You have to know that holacha and kabbalah are exactly the same. Even though holacha is dispensable, nonetheless, if you do a holacha without wearing the big day kuhuna, passed it. If a czar would do it, passes it. You have a makshebes pigel, passed the carbon. So therefore, if you can't tell me it says that ferish anywhere. That's yeshav amash yisbo, but sure isn't the ferish. That's what the mission is referring to. And how about when it says tyrus? Tyrus is a whole list of tyrus in the Torah. Every possible type of tumah is mentioned, the ferish. So what exactly does that mean? Michtach divan. There too. It's only al mashi yisbechu, because what we mean by tyrus is what it takes in a mikveh to become tahor. Does it say how big a mikveh is supposed to be? No, sheer mikveh. Where does it say in the Torah? Lo ktiva. D'tanya. V'rachatz ba mayim. You'll notice the patach, the mayim. So ba mayim means we're referring to a particular type of water. In the water. Meaning the water. Water is about as generic as it comes. I mean, surely you don't need me'eden for a mikveh, I hope. So what then would it mean? It must mean mayim, that is called a mei mikveh. Interesting that Rashi learns mayim amyuchadim is mei mikveh, is lafuke mayim she'uvim, which does with Tainism, certainly not lafuke mayim she'uvim. Shumayim she'uvim, we learn out from the Achbor Mayim, which is a completely different drasha, and according to many, it's only a drabbonin anyway. So that the real meaning, and it's not as if Rashi ignores this, because in the end, Rashi throws this in also, as he learns two things. Bamei, mikvah, two things. There has to be a type of water that's roi, and it has to be roi, it has to be in a mikvah. Shtos says the whole meaning. Mei mikvah means water that is in a pool, which you can't. You cannot have water which is moving. That's what it's coming to tell us. You cannot take rain water and have it moving along and be terrible in it. Only mayan is kosher if it's moving. It has to be mayim chayim that's kosher if it's moving. But if it's water that is rain, or mostly rainwater, then if it's moving along, you have a stream. So here in Eretz Yisrael, very often you have streams that only flow from rainwater. So those types of things, they're not kosher to be terrible in because it's moving. Unless, of course, you build a standing pool, you build a mikveh in that area, now it becomes kosher as a mikveh. That's the meaning of bamayim. Furthermore, it says v'rachatz bamayim et kol b'sarok. What that means is that you need to have water that kol b'sarok can fit into. Shekol b'sarok kol gufo olevehen, which means that the shear of a mikveh must fit a normal sized human being. And that is kamahein, an ama by 3 amos in height. So an ama by an ama, and by the height, barom shalosh amot. Even though the maisa, when it comes to burial, we need 4 amot. Because a kuch is 4 amot long, not 3 amot. However, here we're talking about a living being. One ama is taken by his head. So he can always bend his head down, get into the mikvah. So therefore, we have over here this shear. It's mashed from here that this shear. One amma by 1 amma by 3 ammas equals 40 sa'. This, by the way, is one of the most significant measurements because it defines a revius ultimate for us. As you break this down into etzba'ot, it has to fit the shear of a revius also. Part of the diunim between the poskim utaina that the shear of a revius, that all the shear have doubled and so on. Because this, we don't say that. But in any event, it's mashma.
A length measurement and converting into a volume measurement?
Yeah, why not? We do that in the metric system too. 1 cc, you know, 1 milliliter, we use water equivalent for weights and for volumes, right? Cubic centimeter, 1,000 cubic centimeters, liter, same thing. Mm-hmm.
Well, these seem to not more tenuous, more difficult, at least in shuls, in the previous stop.
Of what? Which one? That's the Gemara's judgment is that that's not the case. It's more tenuous. Rules is more tenuous. But okay, I mean, is there? It's just a lushan, and over here it's direct, much more direct than this. But again, we'll see in Ahmed Beis what exactly is the meaning of remes, michas, and so on. Really, my focus. So now it's mashma from this Gemara that the shear of our boyim saw is actually derisive, and it's a given. So let's say you have a midget or a child. You want to be put him into a smaller mikveh and say, well, at least midrabbana maybe you would be tar. Maybe even midrabbana, maybe they want to convey this as an adult or full size person. It's, from here, it seems clear that this is a real halacha. We're learning it out because we're saying Yesha Mashi Yismachu. Yesha Mashi Yismachu is mashma that this is the real halacha. And in fact, the Chazon Ish brings from here, and not only him, I mean, there were people before him as well. There's a sheet of the Bach, another poskim, that the din of the size of a mikveh is only derabbanan. And that indeed, if somebody would fit into a smaller mikveh, so it would be a kosher tefillah, maybe, right? The Chazon Ish's language is very, very sharp on this. He says you can't even use that bach as a sniff. Usually, when you have a lot of different sources, you throw in an X and I'll leave it a sheet of the bach. We could be maker in this case. And as let's say a nida, it was a shayla, it was a chatitza, it was a suffix chatitza, and then the mikveh really that was smaller than our boim. So it's about, we have this sheet, put it all together, you know, and we'll say, no. It's okay, since it was only a suffix in this case, that she really had already done tefillah in a real mikveh the day before. It was on suffix chatzitz and a bach holds anyway, midirayis, it's kosher, suffix rabbana. Just don't even use it as a sniff. It's so connected, the Gemara, that it's impossible to rely on it. And it's not only the bach, there's others that bring it as well, but from other sunyas, obviously. It's hard to believe Yesha Mamash Yismachu should be only, in the context of the Mishnah, should be as Nesmachta. We were talking about Mikra, the Furish. Then what do you mean Tmeo? You think Tmeo only have what to be Samech on? Good Lord, I mean, there's a list of every single thing that's Batame. What do you mean Yesha Mamash Yismachu? Michtav Ktivan, I mean, it's full psukim. Doesn't say how large they have to be, though. Lo nitzka lo leki adasha min asheretz to lo ktiva. Tiniest shear of tuma, of shrubs, is one adasha size. How do we learn that from? Where is Yeshla Mamash Yispo? Where is the pasuk indeed that deals with that? The tiny way of something of a contradiction in the pasuk. It says on the one hand, kol hanogea bahem bimotam yitmada arev. It's mashmash, you have to touch the entire organism. Bahem. Now, on the other hand, Yochel Bekulam, you might think it means you have to touch the whole organism. Talmud Lomar comes along the Pasuk and says that actually, Kol Asher Yipol Alav Mehem. There's much that even less that falls on something is Metamer. How do you explain that? On the other hand, you think that means only Miksatan? I mean, it says Behem. I mean, it's contradiction. Arketzat. How do you work your way out of that one? Ach Yigab Miksato Shehu Kukulo. There has to be enough of the sheretz to be mitame that the sheretz could theoretically itself be that size, or that there could be part of the sheretz that could live of that size. We'll see. It's machloket. And what is that? Shiaru chachamim bika'adasha. So the chachamim said that would be the shear of an adasha. It's tiny. Why did we pick an adasha? Shekein chomet trilato beka adash. Rashi says, and of course, being in France, he was well aware of the delicious chomet, which is snails. They were very popular and still are till today in France. He says, if you take a look at the smallest size snail, the body, forget about the body of the snail, just look at the shell of the snail. It's got all the way to the end of the snail. Obviously, it can fit in there. And that's the size exactly of an adash. So that means that the snail, the shear of the snail, is kadash. So therefore, we can make now the minimal size of tumah shratzim kadash, because we see that there's shratzim kadash. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, What we're looking for over here is the size of a sheretz that expresses life. And that would be zanav aleta'a. Cut off the tail of a lizard, tiny lizard, and it still expresses life because it still has all types of thrashing about that mimic full life. So that's mayhem. So you have a bayam that's mayhem. Then you apply this, of course, across the board. It's giving us a shear. It's not saying literally the tail of a lizard, but since there we express it, so mamel, that becomes the minimal shear. Lentil. I see you don't come from France.
The beginning of the shells before it starts growing.
First visible shell. It's not the Rashi here. Rashi here doesn't talk about it. He says that go out and experiment. Go out and look, you'll see. Next case is Arayot. Of course, this becomes the introduction to the next parak, as usual. We always pointed out, we always introduce that parak. So, Arayot says, what do you mean, Arayot? I mean, every single erva is listed in the Torah. What are you telling me? Yeshbe, mamash, yisbechu. I mean, it repeats the whole parsha 2 times. So, how can you say it's only Yeshbe, mamash, yisbechu? But 1 minute. La nitzacha, lebito mianusato. Someone rapes a woman. Now, here we have an interesting situation. Someone who marries a woman, and that woman has a daughter. As a matter of fact, that woman has a granddaughter. Ervat ishao bita, et bat bena, et bat bita. So we have everything. Lo tigaler. A woman and her daughter, or her granddaughter through her son, or her granddaughter through her grand, not yours, hers. Now that obviously is dependent on the relationship of the nisuin, which we learn from elsewhere. You have to be married to her for it to be called isha, ubita, and so on. Suppose somebody rapes a woman. Now he's not married to her. So now the question is, he has a daughter from her through the rape. Doesn't marry her. It's her daughter, but he's not high because her daughter. He's not married to her. But it's also his daughter. So over there, we also have a pasuk. We have a case of bitomi anusato. Because it says, Ervat bat bincha, Ervat bat bitcha. So it talks about your own granddaughter. Wait. Oh, that's the problem. Doesn't say anywhere bitcha. That's the problem. It only says your granddaughter through your daughter, your granddaughter through your son. Doesn't say a word about, what about your daughter? So you'll say, that says the granddaughter's also. Obviously the daughter's also. That's all very right. Problem is, it's a kal v'chomer, and you can't give an azhara and an onesh and bezdin based on a kal v'chomer. We have a klal ein mazir min adin vein onishin min adin. So now we're stuck. We have a very curious situation, which would be more b'chayim on a granddaughter than a daughter. How does that work? So we have actually a limud, and that's what it's referring to. Which yesh lema mashi yismichu, but it's not beferish. You can't call it michtav timen. Michtav timen would be a big exaggeration. The Omar Rava, Omar Li Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avudimi explained to me like this. There's 2 drushes over here. As far as the Isser is concerned, when it's talking about an Isha Ubita, so over there it says, Sha'ara Hena Zimahi. There it's referring to a woman that you married. Now that language, that same language of Hena, which is a very striking language, Sha'ara Hena, behold it is, appears again in the story of the rape. It says, Ervatcha Hena. That Hena now compares the two. So just like by Nisuin, the Hena includes Bita Ubat Bina. So too, where you're given the Bat Bitcha and Bat Bincha, you're also, the Hena supplies the missing Bat. So that's where it's Mashi Yisbechu. What's the Chiyuv on such a thing? That we learn out Zima, because we have the Zima comes to tell us Srefa, there's a Chiyuv of Srefa. Now that we know Anusa, Bat Anusato, is Chayev, we learn from Bat Nesuato through the Hina Hina. By the Nesua, it says the Lashon of Zima, and we know that Zima, it says Be'eshis, Zima, he Be'eshis, for Tov Eten, Zima goes together with Be'eshis Rofu. So that means that we now learn that we learned from a mother-in-law, which, boy, that we really deserve, you know. But
my mother-in-law is wonderful.
I'm sure she is. Now, we're burning for her. Right, so now, so that Zima means Srefa from his mother-in-law, which now means Srefa over here by Bita. Because I learned that out also from the Nisuat. Okay, so by the Nesua we have Hena, by the Nesua we have Zima. The Hena is learnt out to the Anusa. The Zima is learnt out from his mother-in-law. And now the Drush allows us, since we're not dealing with Kutchim, to apply that Zima to the case of the Hena, as if it was written there. So now Bito, Mianusato, is also a Chiyot of Sreifa. So Atyehina, Hena Atyeh Zima Zima. Then the Mishnah says something very strange. On the last piece it says, Hein Hein Gufei Torah. This stuff that has Almasha Yismuchu, it seems to be saying, now that's serious Torah. The rest of the stuff is sort of up there in the air. What are you saying? The only things that are written in the version of the Torah, those are called Gufei Torah. The Din HaMelechus Machshavah is not called Gufei Torah. After them, it's not called Gufei Torah. Well, what's going on over here? No, sorry. Ela Ema, it means Hein Vehein, this, and this is what it's saying. All of the above words, it has nothing to do with what's written, what's Baal Peh. It's all called Gufei Torah. Hadron Allah Kakol Chayavim. At this point, we think it means that you don't teach the dinim of arayot in a chabura of three people, including yourself. Bishlosha. Velov, we'll see in the Gemara why such a thing would be, and so on. Velov maaseh reshit bishnayim. Nor do you teach maaseh reshit two people, mashma, you and one other person. Velov merkava biyachid. Nor do you teach maaseh merkava even with one person, huh? But then that means you yourself. I mean, unless you have brains. Okay, the Gemara is going to change this, to change the gears a little bit, so that it means two people to one person. It's not including yourself. But right now, we're assuming that it means including oneself. What is the difference between Maaseh Bereshit and Maaseh Merkava? They're very interesting also. I mean, I'll be Rav Tzodek, beautiful analysis of the two in Yonim. Maaseh Bereshit, essentially, I mean, it's clear from the Rambam as well. It just doesn't speak it out that clearly as the distinction. But Maaseh Bereshit is basically those in Yonim that can be directly ascertained from the way that the world is. Because of the Rambam's, in the Rambam's understanding of Maaseh Bereshit, it's science, fundamental science, learning out the implications to understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu and what it would mean to have Hashem Echad from the way that the world is. In terms of Balei Kabbalah, it's an understanding of the way that the world has come to be through the expression of the Midos and Maaseh Bereshit. But it's basically a static thing. It's not an ongoing thing. Merkava, by definition, moves. That's what's called a Merkava. It's the movement. The vehicle. A vehicle means that it's Nogea Hanhoga. Because the vehicle needs to be driven. So, in other words, the Hodieni Nas Drachecha is the vehicle. I want to know how you're Noheg with the world. For that, already, you'd have to understand history. You'd have to understand Midas Adin. You'd have to know why it's a Tzadik Veralo, Rosh HaVetovlo, and so on. Which that, we know, is not in the same. That's a much more complex targa. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was asking. And that, according to Maman Yomar, wasn't given to him. So there's two different dargas over here. So the Maaseh Bereshit is more accessible. Maaseh Merkava is less accessible. Even in terms of Kabbalah, the difference between a static analysis of the world as it is, and again, as Ramah points out, there's not really any difference between fundamental science or speaking about it in a Kabbalistic point of view. It all boils down to the same thing anyway, which the Gemara doesn't like very much. But anyway, that's Ramah's comment in Yeridaya. So that there, it's much more open, whereas Maaseh Merkava remains to us a very hidden kind of thing. And that's only B'yochid. Again, this seems, I mean, it says, Kolam Yisnakel Barba'a Devarim Ratuilo Kilo Loba. Someone who looks at things he shouldn't be looking at, things that are beyond the theoretical limits of human intelligence, is better off, would have been a rachamim for him if he hadn't shown up in the world at all. Rashi says, there is, by the way, another girsa that says ra'uilo instead of ratuilo, which is more what we would have expected. It would have been better, more appropriate, if such an idiot would never have been born. But Rashi learns ratui, brings beautiful place of ratui from the story of Nadav Avihu, because he calls over there his brothers Banav HaNotarim, and there's a beautiful medrash that darshans Notarim. notarim, not in the sense of leftovers, but notarim, those who God had rachamim on, from a lashon of ratui. So the banav that were rituyim. So as you see over there that ratui means to be merachem on something in a context where it was suitable to die. So ratui hu shelo v'alol. Rashi's makayim this girsa. So if he looks at four things, more appropriate would have been a rachamim for him never to have shown up. Mala mala, mala mata, mala fni, mala achor. What exactly are these four things? That also we don't know. but as Tosis points out, it doesn't really matter because it's so though all pirushim. He points out stiras in the, whether we're talking about time, we're talking about space, we're talking about anhogar. As Rashi says, lamala means lamala menachayas, lamata is lamata menachayas, another place is lamata menachoretz. Lifnim v'lachor, in one place he talks about beyond the edges of the universe, in another place it says beferish, it's referring to time. So therefore Tosis says over here, basically the idea is this. We are locked into a universe which is, for all intents and purposes, the limits of our perception of existence. So for us to start thinking about anything, whether you're talking about God, you're talking about, so what is the meaning of pre-Bereshis? That leads you to think, if there's a pre-Bereshis God, then the God that's in Bereshis obviously isn't the same God as the God pre-Bereshis, and et cetera, et cetera. So on any level that you attempt to go out of your existential experience, you are basically ending up just with conjecture. That's all that you have. Even if you want to extrapolate, to outside of the current universe, you're still stuck within the concept of a space for the universe. As let's say you want to talk about, a recurring Big Bang, shrinking of the universe, recurring Big Bang, you're still stuck within the same space, so to speak, even if it's a non-space. So no matter what you're talking about, whether you're talking about conceptually, you're talking about time-space, you're talking about just space, you're talking whatever your limits are, you end up dealing with Berchsvaras again. It's just pure tummy belches. In other words, you have nothing really to say because you don't have the equipment to be able to deal with it. Obviously, something that evolves within a particular context has none of the outside of that context abilities. It's a double push it. It's very interesting, there's even a large body of scientists who believe that things within the universe may be simply beyond the human brain capability. There are those who hold that consciousness, for instance, may be too complex for us to ever be able to understand, because it seems so totally out of range. To be able to trace elements of consciousness to various, neurological activity is all very sweet, but it has nothing to do with understanding consciousness. It's just linking, obviously there's a matrix to consciousness, but to know that and to be able to even point to correlations is nothing. It still doesn't mean that you understand consciousness. Why would you think necessarily that you have to understand everything? It's so obvious when you're dealing with other species, or when you're dealing with immature humans. There's some things that you can't understand. But everything must be understandable. Why in the world must everything be understandable? Why would you even think such a thing when you know so clearly the absurd limitations of human thinking that anything that is strongly now beyond the simple physical things that our brain evolved to deal with, emergent properties that are like completely meshuggah to us, why would you think you can understand them?
The very question requires some acceptance that not everything
is true. Okay, that's clear that there's a... So again, me'al roshei achayos, then according to Rashi's pshat here, would mean even things that you can extrapolate as emergent properties. Because to us, thought and our experiences of emotion and so on, they're also so highly emergent, so cut off from the simple down-to-earth experiences of the universe that it's rather shocking to us. It's all part of the halal ha'olam. It's all part of the space of the universe as we know it. But even that level, to go beyond that and to attempt to imagine, so what would be the meaning of an emergent consciousness of the interaction of the consciousness that exists and so on. That's none of your business. You can't even conceive what you do have. So where you would be led would be to either madness, as the Mepharshim say, which we'll see later on, that the experience of certain Talmidei Chachamim went insane because of this kind of thing, or weirdness, which we see all the time. It's broad. Weirdness is broad as a result of thinking about things that your brain is not capable of really dealing with. You become weird. disappeared because you're no longer in touch with the realities. Just, whatever craziness is inside of you, you take as something that is real and given. Or a tremendous hate. You become an apikaris. There's a lot of discussion, obviously, about these issues because it's become very popular to popularize. What do you do? Here it says you should never have been born, terrible things, and so on. You have people putting out books, Kabbalah books. And, it's not only crazy people. Not only Madonna can read Kabbalah. How about the the Talmidei Arizal that put out books? What right do they have put out books? Tens of thousands of people can read the books. So you know that they're all Chachamim Umevinim Midaitam. But it's very interesting. There's a very beautiful letter by Rav Kook to someone. Again, a lot of times they cross out the names you shouldn't know. Apparently someone, it was all Old City business, someone was tining about the Beit El Minyan right down the street over here. And some of the Minyanim at the cartel on Rehov Beit El, there's another yeshiva over there. The people there, either they have Tfilas Al Pi Kabbalah, or they have a yeshiva Al Pi Kabbalah, that it's all Keneged HaHalacha, and it's Roilam Shobo La'olam, and it should be stopped, and so on and so forth. So he has a big truth in which he brings a lot of very fascinating deus. First of all, he brings from the Shari Yaira that anything that is written is not called drosha. Ein dorshin b'merkava. Dorshin means that there's a give and take. Because when you give and take, then there's always an accident. You say too much. Somebody asks more than he should ask. When you're writing, you can control the information in such a way that it doesn't necessarily cause coming to the wrong thing. So a controlled environment in a sefer is by definition not included in the Ein Dorshin, which is tremendous, tremendous Kiddush. Then there's other beautiful things that have been brought. I mean, this is an old question. He points out to me, well, you think you're the first one who's brought this up? I mean, this has been going around for centuries already, this problem. You're not the first one to have tainas against people who are writing or teaching Kabbalah. And so he also brings, in a very classical Rav Kook fashion, a beautiful, beautiful explanation of the idea of Nister. He says, obviously, anything that is known is not unknown, by definition. And therefore, what's considered to be inyonim that are hidden in one generation become very simple public knowledge in another generation. So don't go, you jump and take a question. He brings interesting examples. Here he brings from Rav Noroi Gon, Pshatna Medrash of Omrak and Rav Moshe, Hechi Yisani. He says, nowadays, every 10-year-old knows that. I mean, that's like, those are given.
Nothing you can
and over there,
know.
Huh?
Nothing you can know that is known.
Today.
Well, no.
Oh, you're saying in general?
Yeah.
But I don't know that that's what he means. No. That's in terms of the experience of life and so on. That you can really know. That's a beetle inside. That's not what he's talking about. He says, it's like the Zohar says. There's a Zohar that talks about, he doesn't bring this. The Zohar talks about the explosion of knowledge in the 6th millennium, towards the end of the 6th millennium, was this period. So, and at the time, it's interesting, before Shia Zohar asked, how could the explosion of knowledge, since we already know everything?
Really?
Right? Yeah, very interesting. They explain it, that it must be an explosion of knowledge that everyone will know. Of course, it means both. Obviously, an incredible knowledge explosion in every sense. It's like basically like the people at the end of the 1800s said, don't bother going into physics. There's nothing left to discover. What are you going to do? Go into serious field. That was before anybody knew that classical physics was a bust. We already know everything. Amazing. But this is the same situation, he says. I mean, what are you going to compare a generation that basically knows everything? That's in his time. You understand? I mean, nowadays, when 5-year-olds are getting everything off the internet, I mean, you're going to tell them you can't be Derish with my coffee. I'm like, come on, man. Who are you talking to? So, because it's not Mister. That's the point. There's something which has become exposed. You cannot give the same type. These are ideas that little children are familiar with now. This obviously has to be dealt with in a completely different fashion. But he says it his own, he has that lovely power of language to make it so obvious, clear. It's very, very nice. It's a true verb, of course. So, continues the Gemara, V'choshelo chas al kvod kono, rotelo shelo balolam. Somebody who doesn't have a sense of concern for the covet of his creator would be more roy for him not to have been born. covet for his creator. We'll see later on elements of covet for his creator in the Gemara. Astonishing Gemara that talks about an attempt to analyze the nature of the universe on what is behind it is the equivalent of talking about a king who builds this incredible palace on a garbage fill. This is a great, great metaphor. Obviously, if somebody starts talking in front of the king, oh yeah, I remember we used to dump our garbage here, the guy's going to get his head bitten off, right? That's the same exact thing, because what appears to us to be such a beautiful and well-arranged universe, when you take a look at what it's built of, it's very shocking. Right? So this is considered to be a gilui of something which is, in a sense, embarrassing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who wants to know about quantum mechanics? It looks so real, so meaningful. Can't we keep it that way? No, that's one element of Rasui Lo. It's a beautiful, beautiful purish man that Reb Tzadok brings, is the Koshlo Chasachot Kono. And I think that we're also, if I'm not mistaken, I don't want to say maybe the Rashash, Marsha, but I mean others that are more Mefarshei Gemara, that the human mind is the Iker Kovet of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's where we sense this Kovet, is only in the human mind. You lose track of what the human mind is capable of. You have no rachamim on the Kovet of your creator. You're exposing the limits, you idiot. They're limits. And as the world becomes more developed, it's a very fascinating thing. The limits become very much more noticeable. Isn't it true that it used to be that the world was endless? When you were a child, the world was endless. When humanity was children, the world was endless. You could certainly dump things into the ocean. It would never, dump things into the ocean. The ocean's not big enough to dump things into it. Are you crazy? Now the world is a tiny speck. Every little thing you do, you turn on an extra, that's the equivalent of burning 5 extra pounds of coal. Are you crazy? My kids are screaming at me. Leaving on that light, replace the bulb, and so on. Right? So there's a sense of, my God, the limitations. It's like really horrific. Same thing is true in terms of human knowledge. There used to be a sense, there's no ends, there's no limits. We could do anything. And then it becomes very clear that the things that human beings are capable of in the universe as it is are so incredibly absurd and limited. Just by laws of physics, it's only, oh my God, we're really stuck here on this rock. It's a disaster. It's too small to be able to handle a human being anymore. There's plenty of room for a human being in the universe. Now there's really not enough place, So the limits are becoming far more noticeable. And that's a pagam in the sense of the kvayt kaveh, that a person should feel. And it's amazing to think that there used to be a time that you woke up in the morning on this little rock, and you really thought, there's the sun coming up to take care of me and make me warm, And it's all here, and everything that could be is right here on this little, you didn't even know it was a little rock. This is the world, This is the difference between universe and world. It's all the same thing, basically, So starting with Klu, the Mishamshim over there, we've got these crystalline spheres all around us, well protected, well taken care of, now you're dodging the meteors, Oh my God, here comes one, it's 2 blocks wide, we're gone. 2 blocks, that's it, pretty bad. So there's a gilui of limitations that comes that indeed leaves a person feeling that there's something wrong with Kveit Kainai over here. It used to be people had a lot more covet, and it's interesting, we're in the transition period between those two dargas, because it used to be, it's still among the more primitive people, any gilui of what really is going on, they take as a personal affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People, religious people really feel this way. If you discover that the world is built of mikra, you discover that the world is created through evolutionary processes and so on, it's a pagan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet. He didn't really work on it. So it's the same thing. Even if it's true, but there's the whole other approach. Obviously, you reach a point at which the greatest covet that's imaginable of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indeed Maisa Mekama, Maisa Bereishis. So someone who can't make that transition, to him, indeed, it's a pagan. What are you exposing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves things to such a... That's like Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha said, the whole world anyway is mikra. Right? But on the other hand, obviously, to Meshur Rabbeinu, this guy was subsumed to Bilam Adarava. That's Purim. That's why it required Purim to be misakin the problems of the Kabbalah Sater. That's a Kima V'Kiblu. The knowledge of the imminence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout Meisa Bereishis, that is a direct expression of the simplest elements of existence, is so overwhelmingly a greater gilui of Kveit Shemayim, that it's almost laughable. Someone who sees that as the Kveit Shemayim looks back at what used to be, people's vision of my separation. Oh my gosh, like this was the Kavod Kainai, that this little rock was everything that could be, and everything. That's called Kavod Kainai. You know, that's a joke. That's for children, a Kavod Kainai. Ein Achinami, such a person, my separation and my separation becomes a gilui of Kavod Kainai. That's good for what the Mishnah is saying. That whatever the limits are at that point, depending on whether he's a chacham, maybe midaita, and so on and so forth, those limits have to be respected. Somebody who doesn't isn't chas on those limits. So and that, of course, is a person has to know where the limits are. He has to sense his own limitations. Says the Gemara, does this Mishnah make any sense? Amrit Bereish v'lobe merkava biyach. You say first that you can't darsh v'merkava biyachid, which means alone. Okay? So it means obviously you're talking to a guy who is about to learn the merkava on his own. You're saying, no, you can't do that unless you're intelligent to learn the merkava on your own. Huh? So then what does you mean by saying, I mean, that's obviously who we're talking to, because otherwise how is he learning it? So it doesn't make any sense at all. Says the Gemara, you're right. It's not be, it's li. Hokikama. Ein dorshin ba'arayot li shlosha. So you cannot give a class in arayot to three people. Lo b'maaseh b'reishit li shnayim. You can't give a class of vice president to two people. Veloba Merkava to one person, unless he was a person that met very high standards. Only Kenayakam, who may be midato. So let's try to understand this. Ein dorshin ba'arayot b'shlosha. I mean, what is that? Why in the world can you not have a classroom full of people to say over the halachas of arayos? I understand. My timer. Is it because it's like a gzeres hakosav? I mean, it says ish ish al kol she'er b'saros yudarshin. Ish ish means two people. She'er b'saro is another person. Lo tikrav l'galot erva. So if there's three people, don't come close to expose l'galot, expose the dinim of erva. It's like a remez. That's crazy. I mean, the Torah is saying, lo tikrav l'galot erva. You're going to say. Ish ish yikalel alohav. Ish ish ater asher yitein mizaro lamola. So what it means over there, you can't darshan in yonim of molach. You can't darshan in yonim of blasphemy. Actually, the Torah even points on it, but it doesn't say lo over there. It doesn't say lo tikravu. We're darshaning over there lo tikravu. Don't come close to galot. What does that have to do with? Is that the words ish ish? What kind of crazy question is this? The Rambam lied in using a lot to karvula galot in context of ish ish of kol she'er b'saros. What kind of kasha is it to be another place where it says ish ish, but it doesn't say not to be makarv legalot? And he learns. I mean, there's actually a number of approaches in the Achronim about how to understand where he is. His approach is very straightforward. So the same way you understand that ish ish isn't coming to tell you not to learn. So do the same thing over here. Ish ish. Who is going to be Mekalel Alohav? Ish ish should not be Mekarav to be Megala Erev, in the simple meaning. Why would you twist it to mean something like that? Ish ish being the audience. Ish ish is those who are addressed by this halacha, that's all. I mean, that's how anybody would read it, and from all the other places where the word appears, that's what it always means. Well, says the Gemara, now wait a minute. I mean, that's because we do need the ish ish over there as a riboy. It's a special drasha. L'rabot et ha-nochrim. Would you know that a goy is included in the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noyach, that he's muzhar al birkat Hashem v'al avodah zarah? Here's where you learn it from. So blasphemy and avodah zarah are also for goyim, the same as it is for a Jew, Yisrael. But hi, says the Gemara. But that's true here too. Hi, nami mi boy, like ish ish comes to tell me that goyim are usher on a rayot. That's also part of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach. So the rabot et ha-nochrim shemuzarim al ha-arayot ki Yisrael. So forget that. It's not a good drasha. Okay. How about this? It says v'shamartem et mishmarti. So at the end now, the whole parsha now, the arayos, the vilti asot bichukot ha-tayvot ha-shenatzu lifnechem lotetabu behem. And it says over there v'shamartem et mishmarti. So v'shamartem et mishmarti. Shmartem is two people. Mishmarti adds another person who's doing Shmira. And it says Levilti Asot. No, and it says Veshamartem et Shabbat, Veshamartem et Mitzvot, Veshamartem et Mishmeret Hakodesh. Again, the three heavens approach would be. And there, obviously, it's not coming to tell me what it is that you're allowed to learn or not to learn. It's telling you the Yisra of Alota says. It means same thing over here. Why would you think that you should understand it as some type of Yisra to be controlled learning processes? Ela Amar of Ashi, you're right. It's absolutely ridiculous to say you can't. Of course you can teach Arias to 3 people or to 300 people or 3,000 people. You misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah has to be taken in context. Nothing. There is no maximum. What do you mean? Maximum, of course. We thought.
What?
Yeah, 2 you could teach, 3 you can't. You can't publicize.
Privately,
we said. So I said, if you take a look at the context of the Mishnah is speaking about esoteria, right? So it means in dorshin ba'arayot. Not to talk about it. And obviously, you say, okay, these are the types of relationships that are prohibited, this is incestuous, this is whatever, and so on and so forth. That's not called dorshin ba'arayot. That's just, putting out a locha book of Arias. What's the difference? You're teaching it in public, whatever, there's no problem with that. The problem is, the Jerisha is talking about a Jerisha ba'arayot, is a dorshin b'sitre arayot b'shlosha, l'shlosha, I should say. You cannot teach the hidden secrets of arayot. It's a big machlokus whether this means hidden secrets in terms of droshes of arayot that are not befurish, meaning those like we had before, bitomei anusato type of thing, because there the person may not want to hear your drosha and misinterpret it, or whether it means, the mashal suggests, sitre arayot has to do with the elements of arayos, where basically Shabtai Tzvi kind of things, where arayot became a nice thing, you know. So in other words, the elements that are hidden in arayos, like by Cain and Hevel, by Cain rather, that Cain built the world on arayos, or David HaMelech, story of Yibum, those kind of elements of where arayot are good. So those things can lead people, obviously as they have throughout history, to become now world famous messiahs through arayos. By many cults, the cult leader now becomes the savior by bringing his largesse to all the women of the world and so on. I mean, things like that. This is what happened by Shabtai Tzvi also. So that's what it means according to the Maharsha. But whatever it is, it certainly doesn't mean a handbook of Yisurei Erva, which Dover Poshet, everybody knows that. But means over here things that can be misinterpreted. That's the point. Just like it is with the context of the rest of the Mishnah, right? Merkava, Maisa Bereishis. The problem over there is misinterpretation. Same thing is true of the Arayas here in this Mishnah. And the reasons, therefore, you don't need a pusik. It's simply logic, says Rav Ashi. It's a svara. If you've got 2 kids in a class that you're teaching, so then they're not going to talk to each other when you're talking to them. But if you got 3, the moment one asks the question, the other 2 are talking to each other. They don't hear what you're explaining. And so since they're going to like to misinterpret what you said, didn't he say it was mutter? Yeah, I think he said it was mutter once. So therefore, we don't want you to lead into that. So if you've got Trey, Kiyat V'Kamer Rabbi, 2 students, so Chat Shokev Atori B'Hadi Rabbi, 1 will ask a question, let's say, and have a discussion. The other one is Matzli Udli L'Gemara. The other one puts his ears to hearing what's going on between them. But if you've got 3 people, and one of them has a discussion with the Rav, Chat Shokev Atori B'Hadi Rabbi, and the other 2 are talking about the stock market between themselves. They're Shakli V'Tari B'Hadar B'Hadadadi. Below Yadi, my comrade, they don't know what the Rebbe is saying. The other Lamishra Yisra Barayas, and then they can come to saying, pretty sure I heard to the back of my hearing. Pretty sure he heard it was mutter. You can say that about Kalatara Kula, I said, and if you're teaching the Dinam of Shkita, you say the same thing. I'm pretty sure I heard that it was a higher authority that matter, that meat. You know? And it's okay. So, why not? So if you say that about Kol HaTorah Kula Nami, no, come on, there's no comparison. And Arayas is different. Yamar Magez of Arayas, Nafsho Mechamdatan Umitavelahem. People are really turned on to Arayas. You get one opening. Give him a finger and he's going to want a hand. You don't want to tell him anything that he can misinterpret. So how come it doesn't say Gezel?
We're talking about drushes by Kol HaTorah Kula.
Yeah, even so. But let's say I have a drusha and somebody's not clear to my chlokes apeskim whether this thing is kosher or not kosher. I mean, it also got to be take a heter. Many people take heter, give a heksher. And now, for a better price, we owe you. And it's Gezel and Arias is different. But what you only said Arias, how come not Gezel? So you should say Ein Dorshin BeGezel also. Yeah, it's a big difference, you see. Gezel is Arias is Bein Befanav, Bein Shelo Befanav, Nafish Yitzhak. People fantasize about Arias, even if they're not in the presence of Arias. So even if they're sitting there in the classroom, and the Rebbe's talking about something else, they're still fantasizing. Just because they're in the classroom doesn't mean anything. Yeah. But Gezel, Bifanav Nafish Yitzre. There's some people do not fantasize about stealing. It's very interesting. So if all of a sudden they come across a pile of money, they can't help but thinking, maybe I should take it. Right? Very interesting. But they're not going to fantasize about coming across a pile of money that they could take from somebody else. So, they're in a classroom. They're hearing the Dinim of Gezel. They're not in a position of wanting to use what they're hearing in a way that contributes to their fantasies, because they don't have fantasies.
On the contrary, they would fantasize about how they would upstand, they would hold that help.
Yeah, but again, it's not part of fantasy. There's no drive to it when it's on the front. Erva, there's an active drive towards it, so therefore when you're hearing something, it's always nogea. There's no such thing as Arias not being nogea. So therefore, if he's saying something, your natural tendency will be to think, aha, so there is a heter after all, is there? And Mamela, we don't want to allow you to speak
so
the Brahma.
From the Gemara in Yoma, with the Yitzhara being blind, so he would be able to darsh Arias with the family member? I mean, as far as those
it doesn't say he took it away completely. Okay. Hmm. There's always appellation. And you cannot be darsh or ma'aseh bereishis to two people, he said. You know what, Emily? How do we know? You know what? It's late. Let's do this piece tomorrow. Mikra muad alachot merubot tanin negoyim v'olos mikra muad alachot merubos. Mikra muad? Negoyim mikra merubo. Mala halan mamon nafkan mamon avodot mikhtav tziven lo tzukala lo lakata dan tanya vihikrivot zu kabalat adan. Nonetheless, after achmona b'lashon holacha, same way we find the lashon of vikriva kena takovi k'tir, and there we said it means zu alachat evarim lekevesh, to teach me that holach and kabbalah the same halachot. Holacha lo tafka tifka mikhla kabbalah taorot mikhtav tziven. That means b'mayim b'mei mikvah. Et kol b'saro mayim shko gufo ola b'em at one time. V'kamein ama alama barum shalosh amot. V'shiru chachamim mei mikvah arba'im sa'a. T'meot, meot u'michtav tivan. L'nitzvah l'kadash v'nasheretz d'olok tivan. T'tanya b'hem. Yochob b'kulan tamlo mehem. Yochob b'kstam lo'en b'hem. Ha'ketza ad shi'iga b'mikzato shehu p'kulo. V'shiaru chachamim b'chadasha. Why? Shekein chomet tchilato b'chadasha. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda omer, ki zanav halta'a. Arayot, mikhtav tivan. L'nitzvah l'bito ma'anusato d'olok tivan. Yomar Rav, Amalei Rav Yitzchak Vadime, Atya Hina Hina, Atya Zima Zima, Hain Gufei Torah. What do you mean? Only Hani Hin, but the others are not Gufei Torah. Alayma Hain Vehain Gufei Torah. Adon Lachako Chayavim. Ain Dorshim Ba'arayot Bishloshav, Lo Bemaase Bereshit Bishnayim, Lo Bemerkava Biyachid, Ela Im Kena Yachakamu Mevin Midato, Kol Mistakel Biarba Advarim Ratui Lo Kiilu Lo Bale Olam, Mala 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 Mata Mala Fim Mala Achor, V'chor Shelo Chas Akvot Kano, Ratui Lo Shelo Bale Olam. Amit Bereshit Lo Bemerkava Biyachid. So what's the point of saying Ela Im Kena Yachakamu Mevin Midato? You're right. Avi kamar ein doshim barayot lish losha is what it means. Lo b'maaseh bereshit lish naim v'lo b'merkava. The Rav, who is obviously the chacham, maybe midaito to a yochid, unless that yochid is also chacham and maybe midaito. Ein doshim barayot b'shlosha ma'itaima. Im leme b'shun dechtiv ish ish akol she'er b'saro ish ish tre she'er b'saro chad. V'yom rak manu lot kravu legalot erva. Ela mi'ata dechtiv ish ish ki kalel alohav or ish ish she'item mizar lamola. That's supposed to mean also, not the darshan. Alahanim, boy, the rabbot at Anochrim, Shubuzarim al Birkat Hashem, Vial Abadazar Aki Israel. But over here it comes to me, not the darshan. No, I namidi boy, the rabbot at Anochrim, Shubuzarim al Reot Israel. And the Melechtiv, maybe Vishamartem at Mishmarti. Maybe your darshan Mishmartem, train Mishmarti, Chad, Murachman of the Tiasod, Mechukota Toivod. So you're going to tell me when it says Vishmartem at Shabbat, Shubartem at Mitzvot, Shubartem at Mishmarat HaKodesh. All of that's coming to tell me in Isra of Drisha. Elon Ravashi, my Ein Dorshim Barayot Bishlosha, Ein Dorshim Bisitre Arayot Bishlosha, my time is simple Svara. Betreki Yavikam Rabbi Chad Shakir Vitor Bani Rabbi Vidach Matzi Yudin the Gemara. But Tlata, Chad Shakir Vitor Bani Rabbi, Vahane Tre Shakir Vitor Bani Adani, Veloyadi Maikam Rabbi, in which case, Otul Mishra Isura Barayot. So you can say the same thing, also the Mishra Yisura with Trafis or whatever. Kolotar and Ami. No, Arai Shani. No, Mamar Gezel Varayot, Nafshur Shal Adam HaChamantan Umitavelein. Iachis, you should have mentioned Gezel, you've been Gezel and Arayos. No. Arayot Vein Bifanav Vechlo Bifanav Nafish Yitzre. Gezel Bifanav Nafish Yitzre. Shelo Bifanav Lo Nafish Yitzre.